encourages you, give God the glory. If I say something to you today that offends you, blame it on him too. Because without sounding vain, my spiritual receptors say that we are vexed. V-E-X-ed. And we've been vexed for a minute. And some of you are vexed sitting here now. And if I'm not careful, your vexation will poison me and it'll poison everybody around. Vexation is poison. It is anger. It is. I'm going to define why you could not praise the Lord. Because you're angry somewhere. It ain't even about this is a different religion than what you used to. You're angry. You have unfulfilled things going on. And one of the reasons, things I hear God saying to us, is that it's necessary to bring some order to the chaos. But it's not like you think it should be, which is to eliminate people. Because when we eliminate, we got to start with you. When we excommunicate, we got to start with you. Because you got a habit that you ain't quite free of yet. Fact about it, when you do, start with me. And so the plan of God is not to satisfy your religion, but to bring this into one house. One spiritual house. And the message this morning was a great example of the preciseness of how God sees things. Now, we all understand Galatians chapter 5. We should. Then again, maybe we don't. The flesh lusts against spirit, spirit against the flesh. And the greatest sin in there is not immorality, which is where a lot of people go to. Right to the immoral, what we deem the immoral. But the Bible says, cleanse yourself from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Do you know that you might not be committing Galatians chapter 5, 19, adultery or the fornication, but you got some other stuff going on that is the cause for vexation. So, before we can really move on in power, I feel like the Lord wanted me to talk about anointing, the anointing, but not this thing where we have it and yet we got all this other stuff going on in our life. You can't fake the anointing. And the anointing is not something that's reserved for Sunday morning at 11 o'clock through either preaching or through singing. You cannot fake the anointing, but you can fake a relationship with the Lord. You can't fake the anointing, because once you come to understand the anointing, and this is how the Spirit gives it to me, the anointing is oil, flesh, like she was talking so eloquently, flesh is water. Oil and water don't mix together. And anointing and flesh won't mix together. And anointing don't need a lot of noise to be the anointing. The anointing operates where there is a lack of confusion. And where there is confusion, the anointing is there to break the yoke. And some of us really don't want God to put the anointing on us, because before he would use us to be too external, he got to do something about the confusion that's going on the internal. And one of the reasons we can't be anointed is because pride keeps us from saying to God that I am confused. The anointing breaks the confusion of whatever the enemy is doing, and it's something that begins in secret, just like any type of intercourse begins in secret. Help us, Lord. Begins in secret. And when we operate it in secret, then a baby is born. Intimacy is born. And the anointing, God, I hope you can see this, but that's what's wrong with church people. They save it all to come and have their intercourse in front of everybody. Who does that? Where you going 11 o'clock Sunday? I'm going to have intimacy and have the anointing. Who in the world does that? That's nasty. We used to say, get a room. Who does that? No. Intimacy starts in secret, in a closet somewhere. And some of you sitting here haven't been in a closet in forever. You don't even go to the closet. And I'm going to deal with you straight up. 15 minutes, you give me. You don't even go to the closet. You don't know what a closet is. You don't even know what a secret place is. You ain't never been in a secret place with God. Never been in a place of brokenness and submission. And because you get there 15 minutes on any particular day, you think that did the job. That's like having flu and taking one Tylenol off. You better off to leave it alone. Or taking a half a teaspoon of Theraflu and think that, well, I took some for it. No, you didn't. You probably made it worse. It's like taking an antibiotic and don't finish. Any doctor will tell you, if you just take one and quit, it's going to be worse than what it was. And the problem with us not being able to flow in anointing is that we don't stay in the spirit long enough. And if the anointing flowed like it's supposed to, it would get ugly in here. It's not cute. It would get ugly in here. It would get stinky in here. Y'all don't really want to have a real deliverance. The air will become foul where unclean spirits coming out of both believers and unbelievers. It would fog the atmosphere. And that's what scares people, because they want a sanitized church, not sanctified, sanitized. And if you've ever been in the service where people are being cleansed from the flesh and the spirit, the air turns foul. Air turns foul. A demon coming out of a person that's been there for a while will absolutely, you will smell something. So that's why we don't want that. See, not publicly. And so if we get it, we got to have a relationship where God gives it to us privately. I ain't never took a bath publicly. Nobody does the serious cleaning publicly. Shaving your legs. Who does that publicly? You know what I mean? Scrubbing armpits. Who does that publicly? Clipping toenails. Who does that publicly? Brushing teeth. All the stuff that should be done in a secret place. But it's necessary. And one of the reasons why Christians struggle to walk in the anointing is because they won't do privately what you got to do on a daily basis. I don't care how clean you are today, you got to be washing up tonight and tomorrow, because if you pile up today's residue with tomorrow, by a few days, you know it. I don't want to gross you, but you know what? You can smell yourself. If you got to ask yourself, do I stink? You stink. I'm not trying to insult any cultures here, but there is a culture of dark-skinned people that, and I have literally been around that, and you smell and you think, how in the world could you come out the house like that? Now, you know spiritually or physically, naturally, that if you didn't bathe, you didn't clean, you would stink. But yet, spiritually, it's a common thing, man, not to clean up. And to try to come in and hope that a few songs in many cases sung by people who didn't bathe. No reflection on them. Messages by people who hadn't bathed. To sit next to people who hadn't bathed. You got a foul mess. And it takes constant work, constant changing and exposure. Because when you were a child, and as long as you're a child, you think and act like a child. But when you come man or woman, you put away childish things. So here's what I'm trying to tell you. I had to tell all my, I don't think I'd tell my daughter, but I know I'd tell all my sons, both sets, go take a bath. That's a mark to me that I don't care how much hair you're growing on your chest and how your voice has changed, you're still immature. Anytime somebody got to tell you to take a bath, I don't care who you are, you got some growing up to do. Now, there's a difference in a man coming in the house, he been messing around with fish and wife, he wants to... want to kiss wife? Oh no, go take a bath. That's a big different thing. But here it is: you go with dirt under your fingernails from where you've been digging outside somewhere, and then you come in and you sweat all hard, and you get in the bed. Lord, if you shake them covers, you're liable to find mite and everything else living, spiders, dead skin. Now it's nasty when you think about it. Dead skin. They say your skin fall off you at night. In your bed. Living homeless and got a house. I know that's disgusting to even think about it, but spiritually that's what we do. So if it doesn't work in the physical, it don't work in the spiritual. And it doesn't matter how clean you washed up this morning. Come on. By tomorrow, I know some of you will be deceived, but realistically, by tomorrow, you're going to need a fresh start. Am I right about it? You need a fresh start. And I don't know about you, but anytime I put on a suit of clothes to go to a funeral, go to the hospital, see somebody, I might come down here and be working. Man, I got to change clothes, and I got to take a fresh cleanup. Now, I ain't trying to get too personal with you. I'm just saying, it's something about putting on fresh clothes with dirty skin. I mean, it's a mental thing. Every now and then, you can't help it. You got to, you know, change from work clothes to Christian clothes, church clothes, you know, and go do something. But listen, God is saying spiritually, we should be about refreshing constantly and constantly and constantly. Ain't no sense in me pinching my nose at you. And I got stink, too. And this is what church folk do from a spiritual standpoint. And we have stink. You are clean through the word of God. That's why it's so little word of God taught. It's more on singing and Mother Brown's hat. Because the word clean you. But again, God is saying quit doing your personal stuff at the church. Are you hearing me? And spiritually, that's what happens. It's in nearly every church. People, I'm going to church. Okay, what? Now, if you could just see in the spirit what's going on, you see him with a, you see him scrubbing up. And, oh, listen, you'd be thinking, why didn't you do that at home? And then when we get here, we can all flow together. Are you hearing me? If we did it at home, we wouldn't have to spend time trying to be hard. And that's the problem. And then you don't have to walk away saying you didn't get nothing and put more pressure on everybody else to perform. That's why it's become a performance. And that's why it's probably only a few people in here, because most people want to be a part of the performance and what looks good. But a real cleansing means that people come and they are real with God and they listen for God to make a change in their life. Are you hearing me? And so one of the things the Lord says that before the anointing can flow like it should, the people's got to get the vexation out of them. I, the preacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem. Take me through. And I gave my heart to seek and search out wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of men to be exercised therewith. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Now hold it right there. Solomon, the wisest man on the face of the earth, he said that I sought to see what was the sense in doing anything. I mean, here's a person who is thinking. He's trying to think, why do we do stuff like we do? Why do we carry on life like we do? And the thing he found out that all of it was vexation and vanity, that many of the things that we do, how much more does it apply in the house of the Lord? Is vanity. Things we do in our house is vanity. We try to save money over here just to waste the big old a lot of money over here. It's vanity and it's vexation of spirit, or it's stuff that causes you to get angry. The reason we need Christ is because if we really looked at all the wasted time in our life, you will get angry. I believe that one of the things about really getting old and really getting in a critical sickness area is you get mad at the time you've wasted. If you've been in relationships, or if you've been in churches, or you've been in anything, and you start looking at all the time I'm wasting, it's enough to make you angry. And so we have a house full of angry people. We have a world full of angry people who missed the bus, who missed the chance of a lifetime, whose ship didn't come in, they missed it, or whose ship is never going to come in, and they're angry, who's not being promoted, who's being passed over, who's not being recognized in the house of God, who's tired of being by themselves, who's tired of everybody that's around them, vexed, angry for a bunch of reasons. And if God would reveal how much you are angry about, you would begin to say, you know what, I need to sit down and listen. You're angry about the baby's daddy abandoning you. You're angry because you're getting older and you get putting on weight. Come on. You're angry because you can't put on no weight. You're angry because you can't get your hair right. You're angry because you don't have a nice car. You're angry because they're about to fire you on your job. It ain't your fault. You're angry because people are talking about you. You're angry for a number of reasons. And if God will really reveal your heart, you find that you really are angry about stuff. You're angry because you got friends, and you're angry because you ain't got no friends. Yeah, you're angry because your hair's turning gray. You got to get it dyed now. You're angry because your feet are flat. You're angry because your nose is wide. You're angry because your hips is wide. You're angry because your lips is wide. People are angry. Angry about everything. We wake up angry. Go to bed angry. Angry about what somebody's saying. We're angry about what somebody didn't say. Didn't recognize me. Didn't say nothing about me. Didn't say how wonderful I was. Angry because somebody talked about us. Angry because we think other people get a pass and we don't get no respect. I mean, the church of God is full of angry people. And we are all on the same page, and that's the quest for the anointing. That's the purpose, should be, that I'm going because I need some of the anointing of when the people of God come in unity, there's an anointing that come down. But the enemy starts at the door saying, are you angry today? Yes, I'm angry. Well, come on in. Are you angry? Yes, I'm angry. Come on in. When you go home on Saturday night, get you ready. The weekend, get you ready. You know why? So that he can stop the flow of the anointing. It's all it is. It's a setup, and it happens 52 times a year. It happens every day. It happens on Friday, Saturday night. Get you all jacked up. Your wages is funny. Why payday got to be on a Friday? Why can't it be on a Monday? Friday, you know, now you're mad, and people talking crazy on Friday. And Saturday, people talking crazy. Sunday morning, people talking crazy. Why? It's because he's saying, if I can keep your life full of vexation, when the anointing flows, you cannot be a partaker of it. So here's what we do. We'll create religious rituals, you know, everybody stands and do certain things in the doxology, etc., so that will appease you, Because you can never get into the flow of God with anger. You can never do it. You can't do it. Think about it. You cannot get into the flow of God's anointing with anger. It's not just the Galatians 5:19. You can't get in it without gratitude and grace. And you can't get into it without forgiveness. You can't get into it. You just can't. It's like a filter, man. We're like a monkey in a cage. We're reaching for the banana. We're reaching for the banana. We see it's right there. That banana's going to change our life, but we can't reach it because of the bars that have been built by the things in our life that are not satisfying us. And then some of us got to deal with judgment, with our own vanity of our own mind. Our own mind is our God. Nobody can reach us because what we think is what it really is. We're stubborn and we're hard-headed. It is. And so God wants to fill you with the Holy Spirit. Would you lift your hands and praise him right here? Come on. Y'all got to give me a few minutes. I gave you the last couple weeks. Give me a few minutes. Hallelujah. God wants to get the anointing to you. He wants to get the Holy Ghost to you. You are offended because the enemy set you up to be offended to stop the flow of the anointing in your life. That's why offense comes. The offense doesn't come because somebody is wrong or right. It comes to stop the anointing in your life. That's why the offense comes. So that you will focus on offenses rather than grace and what God has. That's why it comes. Trouble comes to everybody. The Bible says offense comes to everybody. But the house of God is full of people who are offended and they're vexed. Got murder in their mind. God gonna bless you. You got murder in your mind. Somebody said, does God bless murderers when they become repentant? He don't bless a murderer that's plotting the murder. He done killed a bunch of people with his mouth, and now he gonna go kill some more, and God's gonna bless him? No. God bless those of us who repent. And so you got to ask, what are you mad about? You know what? You brought Robert in here with you. You brought Kathy in here with you. You brought the problems that you had last week in here with you. Y'all better quit tripping. It ain't time to play. You brought your disappointments on that job in here with you. If you didn't handle them at home, you brought them in here with you. And you can't handle them by just simply saying, I just won't talk to them anymore on the job. You are fooling yourself. You got to go in a secret place and you got to lay yourself bare before God and say, look at all these sores on me and all these wounds. I need you to heal me. Because until he does that, pouring the anointing in you is like pouring it through. It comes out. It leaks out. The anointing has to be put in a sealed container. Only way you can hold it. Because you got an offense over here and you got a wound over here. Somebody said something over here. Your husband didn't do something here. Your wife didn't do something there. Your money funny back here. And when God put the anointing in, it comes out 10 different ways. And all church does is become a place where we are working hard as we can to keep the anointing in you, plugging holes. And then the hole we try to plug, you won't let nobody plug that hole. Let's plug that one. No, you want to keep that hole, but plug these over here. And the anointing is wasted. In fact, the body, you wouldn't even need church if you would contain the anointing. You wouldn't. You come ready to bless other people. Everybody's coming to be blessed. I need a blessing. I need the Lord to give me a word. You should have got a word. Why you gonna put that kind of pressure on the preacher? Why you gonna put that kind of pressure on some people singing? Organ player. So vexation, he says, is one of the reasons my people cannot contain the anointing. Let's read on. Come on. It says here, and I've seen all the works that are done under the sun. Behold, all of that, everything we're doing, nothing you doing have a meaning to it. This blew my mind when I learned it. And amen, that's why when people try to belittle, you know, nobody does it, but when the world tries to belittle, I was in Walmart this morning, and I was passing by four Walmart workers, and they was all talking, and I was passing by, one of them said, and I'm going to get so-and-so when he come in, and then somebody said, what did he do? He says, oh, well, he don't work on Sunday because he's a preacher, and he's a pastor. And so they didn't know me. I wasn't dressed in church, you know, church attire like they didn't know me, but I heard that. And I just thought, what she was really saying, he go to church on Sunday. And she was belittling him with the rest of them. She was setting it up for us to talk about Johnny, because Johnny don't work on Sundays. He go to church, because first she said he's a preacher. I mean, I think he's a pastor. And so I understood the spirit right there. And so there are a lot of people in this world think that being a Christian or being a preacher or being a deacon or being a person who's connected with a church is an inferior work than what they're doing, because they got a big house. Ain't nothing wrong with a big house. But they got a big house because of a profession. Now, everybody can't be a preacher. Everybody can't be a deacon. Everybody can't be a worker in the church. But I'm going to tell you, there is no greater thing that you will ever do but become part of ministry working for God. I don't care if you are Dr. Kildare, Dr. whoever. There is Johnny Cochran, the lawyer. The greatest thing you'll ever do is serve God in your profession. I was in the Air Force. They be planning an office party. Somebody said to me one time, oh, you can't come. You a Christian. I was in Japan at the time, and I got a revelation right there. I said, what you mean I can't come? I'm grown. I can do anything I want to. I choose not to come. I can go anywhere you go. There ain't nobody big enough to keep me from going anywhere I want to go. Doing what I want to do. Are you too? It's the anointing that becomes precious that you want to hold on to. Come on, somebody. And if you ever had it and you lose it or start feeling it getting away from you, you start realizing that you are losing something more valuable than silver and gold. I can do without church. I can't do without the anointing. And I'm talking to you like this because without you feeling belittled, you, some of you have never known the anointing. Anointing will make you give up this world. You will become strange. And very few people want to become peculiar, minister. And you can't become peculiar without saying no. When all of your flesh is saying, oh, I really want to. I wish I could. Quit lying. I don't drink because I can't drink. I don't drink because I would love it so much. And I'm not against those who take a, I can't tell this to everybody because some of y'all will go buy a fifth. But I ain't against those who take a little sip. You know, I mean, Jewish people celebrate bar mitzvahs and mazel tov and a toast and boom. But they don't sit and hit the bottom of old granddad. There is kosher wine. But I might not be able to handle that. It ain't strong enough. Man, I'm going to need something that's going to make me talk crazy. I don't buy weed, not because I can't find a weed, man. But I value my anointing more. And if you can, some of y'all smoke weed and get deep, you know. I mean, you say some of the smartest stuff you ever said. Become very philosophical. But so, you know, no, I don't believe God wants us to do it. But now if you can do it and make heaven, if you can come back and let me know that some of these things you can do and still go to heaven, I might be on board with you. My flesh. And I don't condemn people that do. It's not my place to. Because just because I don't do something don't mean that there's something else that God is not saying, well, Steve, you don't do this, but you need to watch yourself over here. That's what I'm talking about, see? And God, in due time, ain't nobody going to get away with nothing. That's the whole thing. You don't get nobody around you. Nobody gets away with nothing. It all has to come before the judgment seat of Christ. The Bible says some men's sins are made visible before everybody, and some men's sins will follow them to the judgment. Some of us and some of you, when you sin, your sin is made known by next Sunday. Some of us, when we sin, don't nobody know we good at it, and God's the one going to say, bro, let's talk about this. So just because you didn't get caught, don't think you so much better than the rest of us. Because as a man thinketh, so is he. And if God will begin to expose some of the thoughts that we have had that are out from under the anointing, every one of us would be a homosexual. Everyone, yes, we were. Some of y'all, I would never homosexual, but you just saw a woman. You're a woman. You just saw a woman, and you thought she was cute. It might be some men seeing another man, like, ooh, I wish I looked like him. But that's a homosexual spirit. Now, you didn't think like that, did you? I know women like him. Ooh, look how handsome he is. That's kind of gay. You had a gay moment right there. You'd be a murderer. You'd be a liar if it wasn't for the grace of God. You are not good because you are good. You need a bath on a regular basis because you have flesh to contend with. Spiritually, it's the same thing. And so God has a blessing for you when you can get the vexation out of your life. Vexation comes because of choices that we make. And the people that we're really mad at is ourselves first. Are you hearing me? But the Bible says, go to the next verse. Stay with me here. Don't leave me. That which is crooked cannot be made straight, and that which is wanting cannot be numbered. Now here's Solomon saying, you know, I found out that if something is crooked, it can't be made straight. Wow. Read on. Carry me on. It says, I commune with mine own heart. Now, this is a man talking with his own internal parts, saying, lo, I am come to great estate. I got some stuff. And I've got more wisdom than all they that have been before me in Jerusalem. I'm smarter than everybody else around me. I'm the smartest one in my family. He says, yea, my heart had great experience of wisdom and knowledge. I mean, you know, I don't normally make dumb mistakes, is what he's saying. Read. Take me to. And I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. And I perceived that this also is vexation of spirit. He gave himself to know what to do, and he also allowed himself to get buck wild. Folly and madness. I mean, he was just trying to check it out for you and me. And take me on. For in much wisdom is much grief. And he that increased knowledge increased sorrow. This is the reason why you shouldn't want to hear about everybody's problem. It saddens you. Everybody's struggle. It brings grief to you. Everybody can't handle everything they hear. You shouldn't want to. Because I got a good opinion of you. And as soon as they told me that you like to chase little babies, all that lifting your hands, it causes me to have to deal with you in my flesh, forgive you, let you off the hook, and don't see you, because I don't care what nobody say, you still a pedophile. You know what I'm saying? Person that went in the closet, got clean, come to church, Do you know there's people, there's certain sins in church we ain't never going to forgive? Somebody said, you know what, if they get them testifying right here and say, you know what, I used to drink. Woo, Lord, I drank all, but God delivered me. We were, oh, yes, that's so wonderful. Somebody come in here, I used to be a pedophile. And, oh, I loved the little boys and the little girls. I don't care what they do. You ain't going to forgive them. And they might be closer to God than you. Because in your mind, you have made it up that their sin is worse than yours. And so when people begin to share stuff, the reason we guard is because, man, I don't know if I want to hear that about that person. Because you are not always capable of forgiving everybody. Oh, you better quit playing church with me. And so when people have a problem with people, pastors and ministers, elders with authority, they roll out the red carpet. What about when you got to have knowledge? And sometimes you got knowledge that people don't tell you, but God tells you. And anybody that's in the eager to let somebody know they know so much about them, it's got a problem. Because it brings sorrow. When you look back in your life and you think some of the things that you did as a Christian, it brings sorrow. It should bring sorrow. Even though you're forgiven, you'd be, how in the world can I do that? Maybe y'all ain't living. Some of you been holy all the Christian walk. But some of us, and I'm not trying to get you to come down because the rest of us, you know. But it should bring sorrow to you. If you up here talking about how you sinned last year and just, oh, yeah, man, I was sinning and I was sinning, you ain't saved. It's godly sorrow that brings repentance. You got to be sorry. Well, let me tell you that if sorrow, it takes a moment. Our first sorrow is sorry because maybe we hurt someone. But the sorrow that leads to repentance come because we have hurt God. And that takes a while. And why I'm demanding that you feel that way today, it's a process. Just like with sanctification. Why I'm demanding that you quit doing stuff today, it's a process. And you are a work in progress. And vexation comes because you are moving in a direction that is either a struggle to move in, or you are hindered from where God or yourself would like to go. And we need to understand. Don't play me. Everybody in here, you got some vexation going on in your life. You grin and act like it's all right, but there's something. I didn't say it had nothing to do with your spouse. I'm saying you got something in here that life has disappointed you about. And it's an ongoing vexation. Problem is when you blame everybody else for your vexation. Ain't nobody in here can heal you of that. When you seek out the familiarity of that vexation, it hinders your anointing. Y'all better quit. I feel you sitting down on me. When you seek out the familiarness of that vexation, it hinders your anointing. See, people who are anointed learn how to dismiss some stuff. Do you know if I was God, I'd be sick and tired if it was possible? When I look at all these fools, I'd be like, my God, I'm blessing him and her. Look at him. Flesh can't do it. It takes the spirit to do it. God sees everything. And then why would you even be interested in the thoughts of people, God? He know your thoughts are far off. That would weary me. The only way you can handle that is in the spirit. He knows your thoughts are far off. He knows what you're going to do tomorrow. He hears stupidity coming out of your mouth and off your lips. Wisdom is coming off of one side and foolishness out of the other. And God has got to listen to that and still pump you full of air every morning and still, you know, give you activity of your limbs every morning. He got to hear all that and know all of that. Only God can handle that. We couldn't handle that. We would cut your supply of oxygen off just to keep you quiet, put hands around you, and choke you to death if we stop you from doing what you're doing. Only God can handle that and not be vexed. What am I saying to you? That the answer for your vexation, which is gonna be on the face of the earth until Christ come, is to keep Christ as the center of your life. Keep focused on him. Because life is lemons. And sometimes you can't make lemonade. You got to have sugar and water to make lemonade, not just lemons. And sometimes it comes and you need God to come in and change the culture of this suffering. It's an internal suffering. I'm talking to somebody. I know when I didn't hit pay dirt. There's an internal suffering that comes. But through this internal suffering, God is creating an experience in you that prepares you for the anointing. See, the anointing has to be put in metal that has been tempered. Oh, boy. Thank you. That's a thought right there. You don't put something precious into something that it'll break real easy. And so it's not your flesh that he puts it in. He puts it in your spiritual cavity. The anointing has to be put into something that can stand a bump or a bruise and not leak out. You better hear me. He puts it into people who have been developed. New wine cannot go in to old bottles. You cannot put the Holy Spirit into a person who has no intentions of changing. And our churches have become factories of trying to fill empty vessels with holes in them that won't work with the process. This is what they've become. We are working, excuse me, we are working, every pastor and every church organization is working their butt off for people who don't want the medicine. I'm here to tell you, excuse me, I'm sorry for my frankness, but we are working our behinds off to get medicine into people who don't want the medicine. They want to get it through religious form and fashion, no power. The process is simple. You got to crucify the flesh. We're trying to save people with addictions that don't want to be saved. They want to finally bring the Holy Spirit up to a level where it can manage their addiction. They can be functional addicted people. Because to be completely free, you know, they've already decided in their mind, I don't want to be completely free. Because I am familiar with the good times that comes from my addiction. And if I didn't have my addiction, how could I function? So you have to become a new creature. Old things have to pass away. And a lot of people in our churches are not getting it. They're not getting it. They're not getting it. Vexation will make you break all the rules and all the laws. Y'all better help me, Holy Ghost. Why do you think people who know righteousness do bad things? They vex. They mad as hell. When you get mad as hell, you don't care who don't like it. You don't. You just know you mad. And so when you get mad, I'm going to do what I want to do. I don't care. I'm going to do it now. I don't. Because you're mad. You're angry. You're vexed. You're vexed. And you got to calm down. When you get angry, you'll say stuff that you got to ask forgiveness for later. When you get angry, you'll go places that you really wish you hadn't gone. Y'all better come on. When you get angry, you will pick up the telephone and say stuff you shouldn't say. When you get angry, you will. That's what vexation does to you. And we still live in a generation that when they get vexed, they get inebriated. Christians, so don't try to play me. Because this here problem right here, Minister Robinson, this here problem, baby, this here requires a fifth old granddad. Somebody here, go give me old fifth granddad. Because this here problem here, this requires a fifth of old granddad. And there are people in the body. That's the, yeah, this here problem right here. See, this ain't normal. My mama died. This require fifth of old granddad. Come to the funeral all like this. You know, my daddy died. This requires a fifth. My husband walking out on me. It requires a fifth of old granddad. My kid shaking his finger in his face. That's the way people are processing. This depression I'm dealing with, this requires a whole bunch of pills. That's how they're processing. It's vexation that keeps people addicted. I know he don't like this, so I'm mad, so this is what I'm going to do. I know she don't like this, and I'm mad, so this is what I'm going to do. Vexation will make you shun the righteousness of God. Y'all better hear me. Y'all, yeah. Vexation, man. Then the Holy Spirit's got to come in and be a band-aid. I'm vexed. We don't say the word vex. We say P-I-S-S-E-D. I'm is. And you know we live in a generation that if you get, you got a license internally to do anything you want to do. Come on. Oh, God, I'm going to feel bad tomorrow. But your pissation gives you internal justification to do whatever you want. And quit playing because you've lived there long enough to say, I ain't coming home because I'm under my pissation. Am I right? It becomes an idol. Holy Spirit be saying, no, don't let your pissation get the best of you today. Don't let your piss. It's how you get back and get on. So would you want to pray, God, deliver me from vexation on any given day? If you can just excuse me, this is a new word. It ought to be in the Bible somewhere. But listen, God, if you can just on any given day, just keep me away from my pissation. Excuse me. Just keep me. Come on. I don't care how quiet you is. If you in a state of pissation, somebody going to hear about it. Y'all better say amen. Help this poor preacher out. I'm not trying to be dirty up in here. But Lord, just help me no matter what he say, what she say, what they don't do. Just keep me from my pissation because I am not afraid of you. You are not afraid of me. But I am afraid of me. And if you don't fear you, you will never fear God. And this is what I'm, come on, help me. Help me. If you don't fear you, you say, well, I ain't never seen that. If you don't realize that you were fearfully and wonderfully made, you have been made so that you can go where angels once tread, but you have been fearfully made that you can set it off up in here. On any given Sunday, I ain't trying to put nothing in your head. You can come in right here and you can and make the news if you want to. You can set it off up in here. You want to make the news? You can make the news. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. And so you need to realize, and I realized a long time ago, I ain't scared of nobody. Nobody. I'm scared of me. Because when I think the old man is dead, you might just reach down in the grave and raise that bugger up. You got the anointing. That's the raise that bugger up. Some of you. There's somebody got the anointing to reach down there and raise that bugger up. That's what I'm afraid of. Because, he might just get crazy. I see you over there all sweet and quiet, but some of y'all, I know if the Holy Ghost don't keep you and you raise him up, boy, the Bible call it gnashing of teeth. You're talking and slobbing all over the house and everything. Hair all messed up. Come on, ladies. You know what I'm talking about. If the right one, baby, it's the Holy Ghost that keeps you intact. It ain't you. It's God's anointing. You better say something here. It's especially get you behind closed doors. Somebody talking that yang to you. Come on, it's the Holy Ghost. Get you on the job. Let your feet get tired, man. Talking that noise to you. It's the Holy Spirit. Lift your hands and praise the Lord. We're gonna finish this. I just want to be delivered of my vexation. I just don't want to know so much. I'm serious. Come on, tell the Lord. Lord, I don't need to know everything that the devil's doing. Woo, come on. Come on. I don't need to know every plot and every plan because I am not God. That's why the Bible says, know no man after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Know no man after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And thank God we get to hang out a little bit and we get to laugh and joke with each other. But the truth is, we really don't want to know each other after the flesh. Not long, because we won't like each other. If you told me what's really on your mind, I wouldn't like you. If I told you, you wouldn't like me. Amen. We are not all compatible flesh-wise. Ooh. We are only compatible spirit-wise. There we go. We are not compatible flesh-wise. That's why we don't get along. We're only compatible spirit-wise. Flesh-wise, we are familiar. We're only compatible up to the place where we are familiar and comfortable with each other. See, that's why we got people, you know, what was she saying? She's a melancholy, et cetera. Some of y'all look that up later. But we got different people. We're only compatible. This is what happened in any relationship. Listen to me. You're compatible at first through a familiar spirit. God help me. I'm not going to finish. You are compatible through a familiar spirit. Yeah, it's ice cream and stuff like that. But after a while, you're not compatible anymore through a familiar spirit. You can only be compatible through the Holy Spirit. We all grow out of love with each other. Come on. You do. You grow out of love. You grow out of love with your children. Grow out of love with your parents. Well, on some days, you'll be thinking, why do I have to be born to these fools? You may not say it, but you're thinking, you know what? Yeah, you love them, but you be thinking, man, they just as slow and backwards. My parents should have been the Huxtables, you know, and all of that. We do that. Love somebody enough to slob on their face, and then after a while, you wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole. What happened? Excuse my candidness, but what's happening is, God hadn't called us to love the flesh. Ooh, wait, Jesus. Stop me. He hadn't called us to love the flesh. And the problem, most people, they enjoy you loving their flesh. And flesh is not always physical beauty. It is carnal talk, conversations that are worldly. That's flesh. Let's get it together. Flesh is not always your shape and your handsomeness. Flesh is your worldly conversation. And some people love your mind. It's because you're always talking. And so the true essence of who God is calling you to be is a spirit man. And that's why you can have a person that might be physically challenging to your particular taste or like, but inside, they sweet as sugar cane. But you never get to know them because the only thing you're concerned about, if they a 9 or a 10, if they wear a size 7 shoe, and that's in you, and the body of Christ has schism because of that. Because you are looking at people from the outward appearance. You choose your life mates based upon a pattern in your mind as to what a man or woman should look like, what they should drive. You are superficial. Call somebody driving a 2013 car with 24-inch wheels, you're going to say you're going to spend the rest of your life. Do you know that a 2033 would be 20 years old? That the model changes. People change. You got to fall in love with the Spirit. And if we will be quiet and still long enough, those of us who are believers will find beauty where there was ashes. It's no perfect people. It's not the good people and the bad people. It's not those who are righteous and never done anything wrong and those who have never done. It is those who have surrendered themselves to the Lord and those who have died to the flesh and are dying to the flesh. Because Paul said it, in my flesh there dwelleth no good thing. That's why gorgeous. Nobody wants you. Be handsome. And the girls be talking about, you don't want him, girl. He a dog. You're the only skin deep, but the Holy Ghost runs real deep. And the best part of you is locked up in a vault. And even God trying to get to it. You hiding it from him. He say, bring it in the closet. Let's communicate with it. And you keeping it from him. Come on. It's vexation. The best part of you, girl, is not your hair. And man, it's not the six pack. Everybody got a six pack. I got one in here too. And every woman is a size 8. She might be 8, 10, 12. Come on, praise the Lord here. I'm about done here. Come on, just praise the Lord. I just hear the Spirit saying to me, you know, he's just saying, you can't let everything upset you. And we say that to other people. Don't let it upset you. But we're upset, a body of people that are upset. And some of us are professional upsetters, irritant and agitators. Y'all ain't gonna say nothing. And you gotta learn not to be bothered by everything a person says to agitate. Because the truth is, if you ain't flowing in the Spirit, you getting on my nerve. And if I'm not flowing in the Spirit in some kind of way, I'm getting on your nerve. Let's just call it what it is. I don't care. They don't care if we're married, if we're single, if we whatever. If we are not, you know, we can only go so far on the flesh journey. Let's just call it what it is. My brother, I love him, man, but he just talking crazy. I'm like, dude, call you later. I'm done. And he has to do the same thing to me. It's not suggesting that you never, but nobody can walk with you on the road of flesh but God. We can hold your hand when you're depressed. We can hold your hand when you're scared and fearful. But after a while, we got to let you go. And it's not because we don't love you. It's because we can't go any further. If we keep on, you'll pull us down into it. That's why you can't engage in every conversation. You can't engage in everything that happens. Because sometimes it's not that it's bad, but it'll pull you into a place where you finna do and say stuff you shouldn't say or do. I'm a young, single, black woman, and this young, single, black man come holler at me. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Somebody asked me the other day about dating. I'm saying, you know, yeah, but why wouldn't you consider somebody hollering at you? You ain't hear nobody else hollering at you. I mean, Jesus, you say Jesus is the first in your life. Somebody want to talk to you? Why wouldn't you? I mean, the problem is, do you know how to do it? You're single. You're single. You're praying for a husband or a wife. You can't tell everybody, you know, we're supposed to be talking spiritual talk all week, and especially on Saturdays. And my words were, get thee behind me. No, I'm just playing. I'm just playing. I said I was going to say that. I just play. I told him that. That was my words, but I'm just playing. But you're single. Somebody wants to talk to you. That don't mean they got to get none. It don't mean nothing. I mean, you're single. And the bottom line is you want companionship. You want to be married. And if somebody is holler at you, it don't always have to be in the church service. Look around. Ain't very few men. And those here already got somebody. So they might be at the grocery store. Somebody, hey, what's up? You know, I want to talk to you. And yeah, maybe they you know, they don't let that hurt you. I understand. Everybody not going to be a Bible-toting, straight-up walking, have lost their catwalk type of person. They might be a person who, you know. But it's nothing wrong with you talking to them. God is not saying, thus said the Lord, thou shalt not even talk to them. It's just that you have to learn what you can do, the limitations of it. Come on, meet me 12 o'clock. I'm coming over now. We can't do that. So that's what I'm saying. See? All we doing is talking. And just because we're talking don't mean that we finna date. We just talking. You like me, interested in, I like interested in you. But you know, we are way past kissing and touching and going to a hotel together. Don't get it twisted. Just because we are compatible to have general conversation because we have like, yeah, you're cute. I mean, that's the whole reason why I started hollering at you. If I was the pursuer. Maybe you saw something in me that you gave me that eye that says if you want to ask my number, you can have my number. I mean, can I be real for a few minutes here? I mean, that's how it happens. It ain't always the brother over there saying, please. Sometimes it's the woman. You got that look where you, and he knows what that means. Hey, can I have your number? Yeah, you can have my number. But that don't mean we finna become buddies like that. I'm praying that God will send me a help, or send me a man so I can help. And so here's somebody that paid attention to me. And I could just say, well, here it is. Well, no, why don't you give me your number? I can do all that. But we can talk and we can keep it straight. And when he goes astray, I can just say, no, I'm not ready for that. You're not afraid of him. You're afraid of you. Because you know that all he got to do is say, girl, your lips and your hips and your fingertips. And you'd be like, oh, come on. Come on. It ain't him you're afraid of. It's you. You can't handle a compliment without getting horny. Hello. Yeah, that's your problem. You afraid of you. Like this first time somebody told you you was cute or handsome. You sure are cute. You can come over, the kids will be in sleep after a while. You is the problem. God is not up there like saying, "Don't thou should not talk to anybody but the same sex." Why not keep Jesus in the forefront of it? Then you won't go home vexed all the time thinking ain't nobody paying attention to you. You just got to learn how to possess your vessel in honor. I'm quitting right here. I'm shutting my Bible. I didn't get finished, but you got to learn how to possess your vessel in honor. I mean, you spending $200 a month on hair and makeup, ladies. Somebody ought to see you somewhere. You quit walking like Sophia in The Color Purple. You start walking like a woman. Somebody gonna notice you. You praying, Lord, I want you laying up there in the bed at night by yourself. It's cold. You ain't got nobody to reach out and touch. Lord, I want a husband. First thing the enemy tell you that you need to lose weight. Y'all need to stop me right here. Thing he tell you, well, if you lost that weight, I mean, wow, really? So your whole beauty is based upon the fact that you might be a little plump? Your self-esteem is wrapped up in poundage? The first thing he tell you, well, if you lose a little weight, or he tell you, well, if you got your hair, if you just get it with a little frost over here. Are you kidding me? What happens if the supply house is out of frost? Or as a man, if you had a nicer car, you could. Are you kidding me? There ain't no women in the world would catch the bus with me. Girl, I met this fine guy. Fine, what do you mean? He was on the bus stop. Girl, he ain't got no car. Okay. But if he ran a credit report on you, you probably 250, 300. So what's the difference? Somebody co-signed for you. I'm just saying, people are vexed for a lot of reasons. And if you're praying and asking God, this was a flip. This was a flip here. You're praying and asking God for companionship. You ain't got to be easy. All you got to do is let God send them. Let the devil send them too. Just be smart enough. Don't be dumb. Yeah, come on. I dare you, and I'm talking to all my single ladies in the house. Lift your hands. I'm talking to all my single ladies that want companionship. All you got to do, and single men, all you got to do is ask God to send them and look for the devil to send you a bunch of counterfeits too. But you can't go in a hole and hide. And eat ho-hos until you're 900 pounds because ain't nobody paying attention to you. God will send somebody your way. And the devil will too. But you're a smart girl. You're a smart brother. You ain't in Bible class for nothing. And you can look beyond their flesh just because, you know, a woman, she might be switching when she walks. Does that mean that she easy? You're looking beyond that because you're tired of being alone. You vexed. You pissed. Everybody else got husbands and you ain't got none. And them that got them don't want them. It's the truth. Birthday, ain't nobody calling you. You ain't got a flower since flowers was made. Anniversary, you ain't got no anniversary. You got enough money to go on the cruise. Malia will hook you up. You ain't got nobody. You don't want to go with your mama and them. You want to go with your Boaz or a good friend. Oh, God, stop me. I'm preaching to somebody. My time's up. But you know what? You're single. And can we go on a cruise and just get to know each other? Do we have to sleep in the same cabin? See, that's too liberal for you. We're just not going to do certain things. And guess what? You're going to be happy if that's part of your happiness. Having somebody that baking biscuits when you come home, brothers. Be honest with yourself. I want companionship. And somebody might want to spend some time with you. And for a lot of God's people, vexation can be solved through the Holy Spirit and through the right companionship. Oh, God, lift your hand right here. Praise him. Because while you got somebody, quit wishing God give you somebody else. I'm talking about boyfriend. That makes you a hoe. God ain't going to give you but one friend at a time. And he'll give you plenty of friends, but he will not give you boyfriends. So quit trying. And girls to women too. That makes you a player. Just be a friend and you can have a bunch of friends. You don't feel like you're isolating by yourself. So what, you got kids? That don't disqualify you. So what, you got handicaps? You walk with a cane. That don't disqualify you. What disqualifies you is your internal says, I have no confidence that I can be alone with you without it going there. And when you admit to yourself you are vulnerable, you ask God to help you. That's how homosexuality comes with women. They're afraid to get around men, so they say, well, I'll be around another woman. Because then the first thing they find out that the woman like women. Same way with men. And then everybody's vexed. Because not all men are dogs. They're not all dogs. You the one tried to put a collar on him. Try to bring him home. And he showed you that he ain't completely delivered yet. And you let him celebrate. And because he wasn't completely delivered, and you forced a collar on him and a choke chain, and now he's got to take you out on dates and you only exclusively, now he's going to show you that, you know what? I ain't completely ready for a monogamous relationship. It ain't his fault. It's your fault. You fire for them puppy dog eyes and the wagging of that little tail and all that. And then you put a collar on him. And now he breaking your heart. Turn it on you. You blame. You the one took him in. That's what dogs do. Look for houses and somebody take them in. Now you mad. All the puppies in the world are evil. No, they're not. You just need to quit trying to bring them home. That's why you're vexed. Then you get married and you remind your husband all the puppies you could have had. Well, you should have got them. Or remind your wife all the puppies you could have had. That's what people do. If I tell you to put a collar on them, don't feed them. Don't feed the ego. Don't feed the flesh. Don't pet them. Don't walk them. Don't water them. Don't groom them. Yeah, don't bring them in. Give them a bath. And don't take them to PetSmart. Get them all groomed up. Buy them haircuts and buy them clothes. And put diamond rings on their finger. If you don't, then you won't have no problem. Just be puppies in the pound. Vexation. It's a lot of people vexing. You know what I'm talking about. And God just want me to encourage you that he's got some anointing for you. You got to get through the vexation. Because just because somebody didn't take you home, it don't mean that God hadn't have a better plan for you. Amen. It don't mean God don't have a better plan for you. Because I have adopted many a dog that, as Sister Paula said, I took them for a ride in the country. And there were people that will adopt you until you mess. And they're done. And oh, you're going to mess. And they're done. But you need an owner that's going to put time in you and clean up your mess and love you still. Because you're going to mess. You're going to mess by being late. You're going to mess by not being available. You're going to mess by something you say. Oh, you are going, that old dog hunch, you're going to mess. So you need to think about that anybody will clean up behind your mess, because your stinks too. Are you hearing me? So don't be afraid. Just realize now, if you want me, you're going to have to clean up behind my mess now. Quit telling people, if you take me home, a little dog, ain't going to be no mess. Oh, you's lying. There's going to be a whole lot of mess. Now I'm really messing with you. Look at your neighbor and say, watch your mess. You got some. You got some. Vexation comes because when your life is in a messy place, there is nobody to help you. It comes to all of us. But that's where it comes from. No one understands. But Jesus does. And you have to understand that everybody is not going to clean up behind you. And they don't mind having you until you have to show them your pain. See? So you be careful who you show your pain to. Be careful. Because the truth is, people find dogs that are hit all the time on the road. And you know what they do? They put them up for adoption. They don't always keep them. And some people are only there for a season to help you because you've been hit on the road. And like any puppy or animal, you become attached to the person that helped you out of your depression. It's not always so. Stand, please. We require too much to have joy. We put the demand on too many people to make us happy. And you are never alone. And you keep living, you're going to find out that you are not as bad as people think you are. Because Christ is in you. He'll love you. So what we got to do is help you to release him. I don't care what you've done. Forget about what people are thinking about you. Because everybody that's thinking about you is being thought about. And
part of growth is when you can come to the place where you're godly sorry for yourself, your mistakes, but you can also lift your head up and know that tomorrow comes. So you're not out. See? And when you can deal with the vexation in your own heart, you can get alone. Come on, man. If you can just deal with that monster, you can't get alone. And in your singleness, in your marriage, your separation, your divorce, in your health issues, you can still smile. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You can still smile. Just because I limp don't mean I ain't no good. You can call me old and good for nothing, but inside the Holy Spirit is as vibrant as it was when I first started. Get your mind off your flesh, off your past, off your mistakes. You are somebody that God loves. You're so precious. Quit selling out for a compliment or a meal or kisses in the wind. Come on. Or for a shot of JB. Quit selling out. Come on, man. I'm telling you. Quit selling out for a hit on a pipe or something. Quit selling out like that. Quit selling out like that. God delivered me from that habit. I'm so glad. And every now and then, the enemy be showing people, man, they just, the way they hold they wine snifters. It just looks so sexy. It's so, I mean, yeah, for sophisticated. Just the way they hold the snifters. And I think, you know, I can do that, but I don't want to. I don't want to. I don't want to have to stay away from you because smoking all that stuff. I don't want to have to always be over here. Now, that's just me. And I don't want not to be able to look in your eyes because it ain't about drinking and smoking, but look in your eyes because I know you see what's going on in there. And so all my conversation is with you is like this. Because the eyes is the window of the soul. And I'm not angry at you. See, and that's the reason why we don't make eye contact. Because we know if somebody really looks at us and talks to us, we enjoy the Lord. We see, they see every dirty, ugly thing we're doing and thinking. And so we play hide the eyes. I want to be able to look at you face to face. Hold your neighbor hand. We're going to pray. I know it's been a minute here. We're going to pray. Elder, I guess you're the only brother I got in here in the gospel ministry. Come on up here. Stand with me. I need you.